Today's shiur begins the Ezes Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yud Amid Bet. Before we go weiter, let's be marked in the small Hagdam. We know that there were marked the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Bein Horbai. The Tamid was purchased from the Trumas Halishka, from the Machzis HaShekel. However, it had to be purchased from the current year Machzis HaShekel. Once the Shchardish Nisan came, you could no longer be marked of Karbonis Tzibur from the old Shkolim. You'd have to now use the new Shkolim, the Trumah Chadash. That is learned from the Pasuk, Zayis Oilas Chardesh B'Chadshai, the Torah says, Chardesh V'Havili Karbon Mitrumah Chadash. That's the Gemara in the Sechus Nashashan and Dapsai. So what did they do when Nisan came? And there was still money left over from the previous year. So for that, there are several shittos in the Mishnah and the Sechta Shkolim, what was done. Our Gemara, however, focuses on a little bit of a different problem. At all times, there were six sheep available in the special Lishkas HaTaloyim to be used on standby for a Karban Tamid. I.e., we only need two a day. Why six? Because there's a concern what happens if a moon shows up the last minute and Chazal did not want the Kehanim to be left empty-handed. So the end is on the last day of the previous year. We know that there were for sure six that were purchased with the earlier Shkolim, with the Shkolim of the previous year. Two were used on the last day of the previous year, but there had to have been at least four that were then left over. What do we do with these four? Apparently, there's nothing we can do with these four. We can't use them for a Karban Tamid because it is now the new year and they were purchased with the previous year's Shkolim. Can we redeem them? Let's remind ourselves a little bit about the halachas of redeeming Hegdish. There are two kinds of Hegdish. There's Kiddushas Haguf and Kiddushas Damim. Kiddushas Damim can be redeemed. But Kiddushas Damim means when you are married to something that is not a Roi L'mizbeach. So in effect, you're not really giving it an intrinsic kedusha, but you're being magdish the value of that particular item to hegdish. That could be redeemed. However, kedusha haguf, when you are magdish something that is roi l'mizbeach, that gets an intrinsic kedusha, and you can't just redeem it. The only time you could redeem it is if it gets a mum. But these four talayim that we have over here, purchased with last year's shkolim, don't have a mum. However, Rabbi Yochanan tells us a tremendous chiddush over here. Zakti Gemara Vayter, Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Timidin Shalai Hitzachul Tzibur, if you have the sheep with the Karban Tamid that were not needed by the Tzibur, they were left over from last year, they can't be used even if I wanted to use them. There is a special halacha that Nivdin Timidin, you can redeem them even though they are whole, even though they are unblemished. How do we redeem them? What is the procedure? This is how Rashi explains it. The Gizbah first redeems the lambs using money that is not Hegdish. What I accomplish now is I transfer the Kiddush of the lamb over to the money. The money is now going to be added to the pile of Machzis HaShkolim that were collected during the past year and not used. And when we say not used, we mean not used to purchase Karbonis Tzibur. As explained before, there are several shittos in the Mishnah in the Sechta Shkolim what they did use them for, like plating the Kodesh Kedoshim according to one shita. But the idea is, I have now removed the problem from the lambs. The problem with the lambs was they got their kedusha through last year's shkolim. That has been corrected. I have redeemed the lambs. The money goes back into the pile of last year's shkolim. The gizbar now takes these four lambs that were left over, and he rebuys them with the new year's shkolim. Thus, the lambs can now be used. Because there is a halacha that you cannot transfer hegdish onto something else that is Hegdish, because the Hegdish has to take over something else that is Chulin. Therefore, Rashi explains, the Gizbah would have to borrow money, because any money technically under the Gizbah's control is already Hegdish. So in order to start this process, the Gizbah would have to borrow money that is not Hegdish, and then he can engage this simple procedure, transfer the Kedusha from the lambs onto the money, the new money goes back into the pile of Machzis HaShkolim, of last year's Shkolim, and then he repurchases with the new year's Shkolim these Karbanos that are now ready to be a current Karban Tamid. Yosef Rabba. Rabba was sitting with his Talmidim in the Kamal of the Haishmais, and he repeated of Yoichanan's Halacha that there is a way out for the Talmidim, for the actual Tiloyim that had been left from last year. And Amalei Rav Chizda said to him, Man Tzayislach, who will listen to you? Will Rabbi Yoichanan Rabba or to Rabbi Yoichanan your Rebbe? Can we accept this ruling? That somehow we remove last year's Kedusha from them and give them a new Kedusha? Where did the first Kedusha go? We know the rule that once something has Kedusha Saguf, it cannot be redeemed. Let's learn from the Pasuk. The Gemara dashes down in the Nachas, and of Kufarwa from the Aleph, from the Pasuk of Vim called the Hema Tameya. Chazal say over there, Bibale Mumin Shen Nivdu Akasim Adaber. So you can only redeem Kedusha Zaguf once it received a mum. These Talam never received a mum. What happens to that first Kedusha? Where do you get this halacha from, that just because they were purchased with money from a carbon saber, you can somehow redeem it back to the money? Amalei, so Rabbi said to Rav Chisda, at loy tizbara, are you suggesting that you don't agree with this? That you don't agree with my Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, that by a carbon saber you can redeem it, even without a mum? The loyim mina that we don't say in regard to a carbon saber, kedusha shebehen lehechen holcha, where did the kedusha go? In other words, it is possible to remove the kedusha? Well, let me point out to you that there are other examples of this. And again, before Rabbi introduces us to his rayu, we have to be magdim mahagdam. We know that twice a day in the Beis Hamikdash they were makdir ketayrus. The ketayrus was prepared once a year. There were various amounts of the 11 different samamoni haketayrus that were produced. And after all instructions were followed carefully, the batch of ketayrus prepared for the year would weigh 368 mana. Like we say, shloish meis v'shishim v'shmoina mana hayuva. Now each day a total of one mana was used, like we say, pras b'shachas, pras ben harbay. Assuming now we're going with 365 days, we'll soon explain why, that meant that there were three extra mana at the end of the year. What happened with those three extra? Well, two handfuls the Kayan used on Yom Kippur. But two handfuls is approximately half a mana. So there was always something remaining at the end of the year. What was done with the leftover ketayrus? Now, the Metzias, what they did is, they allowed it to pile up year after year. Achas l'shishim l'shiv m'shtana ha'isa chesya shal shirayim, Rashi tells us, according to Chazal, so after 60 or 70 years, they had a total from these leftover ketayrus of 184 mana, which is half the amount necessary. That's b'metzias, what they did. The shaila is what gave them the right to do it, because once again, we have the same problem. The ketayrus of the current year can only be used if they were purchased with the current year's gullet. So how could they use 60 or 70 years worth of ketayrus, which obviously were not purchased with the current year's gullet? So there were several steps over here in the procedure. The first procedure was to pay the workers who prepared the ketayrus with a special machzis hashekel. Without getting into the intricacies of exactly which golem are used for what, but there was a process called Trumas Halishka, and at several points throughout the year, there were mafresh golem that were used for various different inyanim of the tzibur. And some of those golem were used to pay the workers who put together the ketayrus. As we know from the Gemara in the Sechtes Yuma, these are the people from the family of Beis Haftinas, the only people that really knew how to make the complicated ketayrus so that it works properly. They were the only ones that knew how to make the ketayrus in such a way that the smoke would not spread like smoke does, but rather rise up like a stick. Their schar was 12 mana per year, Rashi says. And that was only the first step in the procedure. What I accomplished now is I removed the kedusha from the shkalim. Where did the shkalim go to? They went into the labor. They were used to purchase an item. It doesn't have to be a physical item. It can be work that is owed to someone. Now Rashi explains, the gizbar doesn't be metzias, take it and give it to the gizbarim. Rather, the gizbar acts as their shliach. He accepts it for them. Now the next step is, we're going to take this money, which is now officially chulin, and the workers who made the ketayrus are going to purchase the ketayrus with this money. In effect, what they're doing is they're going to redeem the ketayrus through this money. The kiddush of the ketayrus is going to be transferred over to this money. And that paves the way for the final and most important step, that is for Hegdish to repurchase the ketayrus with the new year's going. So you see, there is a way to take existing kiddushas haguf and to somehow remove the kiddushas so that you can repurchase it with the current year's going. Now you may ask, why was it necessary to go through this complicated roundabout procedure if it is possible just to outright redeem existing kiddushas haguf ketayrus? Why couldn't the gizbar just sell it to anybody and then repurchase it with the year's going? And Hanami says, Rashi, he could have, but that would have been a zilzul to the ketayrus, just to sell it on the open market. But this way, no one really understands what's happening over here. No one sees any transfer of money. There is no new buyer that is introduced. The people made the ketayrus and they gave it to Hegdish. What went on over here behind closed doors is not a zilzul to Hegdish, but b'metzias, we removed the kedusha of the ketayrus in order to be able to repurchase it with the new funds. Aye, what about the inyan that kedushas haguf cannot be redeemed unless there is a mum? Apparently that does not apply to karbanis seber. Once again, let's see the Gemara inside. And you don't hold this way? That when it comes to the tzibur, the lawyer, meaning that we don't say, where did the kedusha go to? Which is a question that we do ask in regard to a kedushas haguf of karban yachid. Because over there we say you cannot redeem it.
After all, Vatnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Moisir HaKetayris Mahaya Isimba. What did they do with the extra Ketayris? And as Rashi explained, there was always extra Ketayris, because there were 368 and only 365 days. Actually, Taisa says, in addition to the three leftover mana, according to Rashi's Cheshbin, there was always 11 extra mana because of the discrepancy between the 354 lunar year, which is how our calendar works, and the 365-day solar year. So even though that is corrected through adding an extra month, but Lamai said during the year that no extra month was added, the fact is that you have 11 extra days. So whatever the case may be, whether it's the discrepancy between the lunar year and the solar year, or even if it's without that discrepancy, you have three extra because there were 368 and the Kohen Gadol didn't use that much on Yom Kippur. So Moisir HaKetayris, the extra Ketayris, Mahaya Isimba, what did they do with it? Now, as explained, we know what they did with it. They let it pile up for 60 or 70 years until they had half the necessary amount. But the question is, how did they do that? You can't use Ketayris that was purchased with the previous year's Galon. So the series of steps began by Mafrish Mimena Schar HaUnin. Actually, according to Rashi's Girsa, the word Mimena does not appear over here. According to Rashi, if we remember, they took the Shkalim from a completely different source, from the Trumas HaLishka. So it's not Mafrishin Mimena. We did not involve the Keteris itself yet. According to Rashi, the Girsa is Mafrishin Schar HaUmnen. Others say have the Girsa like our Gemara that it's Mafrishin Mimena Schar HaUmnen. They have a different process, not like the one we described from Rashi. These Rishonim hold that if the Schar, let's say, was 10 Sloim, so there would be mafish from the Keteris the value of 11 Sloim. They would give this Keteris to the workers and make them pay for the extra one, because they would only do 10 for their work, and they got over here the value of 11. With the extra one that they paid, they redeemed the entire Keteris, because that is the halacha. To redeem Hegdash, you don't have to have an equal value. Hegdash Shavah Manasha, Chulay Shavah Pruta, the halacha is the redemption takes effect. So it's only that extra seller that goes into the pile of the old Shkalim. The Keteris remains redeemed. Afterwards, the Gizbar buys it back from them from the new year Shkalim. That's according to the Rishonim that have our gear, so that Mafrishin Mimena Schar HaUmnin. In any event, the idea is the same. We are redeeming this Keteris that has no mum on the money from the workers. We give them the Keteris as their wages, and then we rebuy it from them with the new year's going. According to you, how could this be done? Ask the same kasha that you're asking on the Yochanan. Name, why don't you say, where did the Kedusha go? How can you redeem Kedusha Saguf? Elamai, for some reason, if it is Kedusha Shal Tzibur, the Allah is different. Amalei, Yisrael of Chizda answered, but how can you compare Keteris to the Talayim? Keteris Ka'amrit, you're trying to prove your point from Keteris. Shabi Keteris, Keteris is different. We go now to the top of Yud Aleph on the Aleph. Because in my opinion, says Rav Chisda, Keteris is not Kedusha Zaguf. The Kedusha is Damim Hu. Rashi explains that the Keteris is purchased with Hegdish funds, therefore they have the value of Kedusha Damim, but Kedusha Damim is not an intrinsic physical Kedusha. That's why you can redeem it. Rashi Lashitasi explains that Rav Chisda disagrees with Rabba about the status of the Machteshes. The grinder, according to Rav Chisda, did not have a halacha of Kli Sharis. And the name of the Keteris that is ground in it doesn't have a halacha of Kedusha Saguf. And the Emes, the Rashban, a Tshuva, Chelik Aleph, Simen Lamed Aleph, asks, why do you have to come on to the Keli in order to explain that the Keteris should be Kedusha Saguf? After all, the Keteris is brought on the Mizbeach. There's no question that the Tamid is Kedusha Saguf. It wasn't put into a Keli, but because it's a carbon designated for the Mizbeach, it's automatically Kedusha Saguf. That's the most simple rule. So the Rashba says it could be because the Pasuk says in regard to Keteris, Kaf Achas, Asar Azov, Malaya Keteris, that somehow the Kedusha hinges upon the status of the Keli. In any event, that's the Machlokes between Rabba and Rav Chisda. The Rabba holds the Keteris do have a din of Kedusha Zaguf, and therefore if you can redeem Keteris, you can redeem Talayim. Rav Chisda says, no, Keteris is different because it's just Kedusha's Dami. Fek the Gemara. Elamiyata. This is Rabba again addressing Rav Chisda. Now, if you are right that Keteris is only Kedusha's Damim, it's a light to pasul with Tfilyayim. It should not become pasul through contact with the Tfilyayim. A Tfilyayim, as you know, is someone who tabled himself in the mikveh. However, he has to wait for the sun to set in order to attain complete Tahara. Even after his immersion in the mikveh, there is still some roishim of Tumah that remains with him. Since the Tfilyayim only maintains a very slight degree of Tumah, he only pasuls things that are very delicate, like Kedusha's Aguf. As we understand it now, Tfilyayim would not pasul Kedusha's Damim. For example, when a Tfol Yom touches ordinary food, when he touches chulin, it has no bearing on it whatsoever. Even when he touches truma, he passes the truma. However, he cannot be metama the truma so that in turn it should transmit the truma further. And Mela, once again, Rabba asks for chizda elamayata. Now, if this is true, if Ketayis only has a din of Kiddush as Damim, so loyta possible with Tfol Yom, it shouldn't become possible through a Tfol Yom. Allah Matanya, why did we learn in a braisa, nitna b'machteshes, that once the Ketayis was placed in the machteshes, that is going to grind it up, nitzelis b'tfol yayin from that point on, it does become possible if it comes in contact with the tfol yayin.
Doesn't the Ketayis' vulnerability to tfol yayin indicate to us that it is Kiddushas Haguf, that it has the greater level of Kiddusha? Of course, Rabbi's point would only be valid if this premise was true, that a tfol yayin can only pass through Kiddushas Haguf and not Kiddushas Damim. So the Gemara suggests, Senachanami, let's analyze this. Is there a possibility that Tfol Yayin passes even Kiddush as Damim? The Chitaim, perhaps you would suggest, in response to Rabbah, that Kol Kiddush as Damim, Bifslei B'Tfol Yayin. And therefore the fact that the Ketayis becomes possible is not a Raya that the Ketayis is Kiddush as Agof. That can't be Zakti Gemara, because of Vietnam, we learned in the Mishnah B'Feirish, from this Mishnah we are going to see that only Kiddush as Agof becomes possible when it comes in contact with Tfol Yayin. Now before we see the Mishnah, we have to be Magdim, a small Hagdama. A carbon mincha starts out as Kiddushas Damim and then is elevated to Kiddushas Haguf. At the point that he is magdish the carbon mincha, at that stage it is Kiddushas Damim. At the point that they put it into the klishares, it is elevated to the higher degree of Kiddushas Haguf. So first the Mishnah is going to tell us that the halachis of Me'ilah, Me'ilah of course means when a person uses Hegdish for his own benefit, he has to add an additional fifth and bring a carbon Me'ilah. The halachis of Me'ilah apply even to Kiddushas Damim. As the Mishnah begins, HaMenachis Mayalin Behen Mishach Hukdishu. As soon as he is Magdishit, even before it is in the Klisharis, even though right now it's just Kiddush HaZdanim, should he use it for his own benefit, the Alachis of Me'ilah apply. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, Kachu B'Kli, if he's Mekadishit in a Keli. At the point that the Mincha goes into the Klisharis, at the point that the Yachid brings his Karb Mincha to the Yazar and puts it into a Klisharis, it is elevated to a higher level of Kiddush, it is now Kiddush HaZhaguf. And as a result, Hukshu Lipasol B'Tful Yarn. Rashi ties to the word Hochshu over here, Nigmira Kiddushasa. The Kiddush has been complete. It has reached its highest level of Kiddusha. The term Hechshu, Rashi explains, is a lashon of Tikkun. When you are misakin something and it is ready, it is complete. Because it is in the Klisharis, the Mincha is complete. It is ready to go up on the Mizbayach. And the Mela, given its high level of Kiddusha, it is very delicate and very vulnerable. So Hochshu Lipasel, it would now become Pasel, B'Tful Yayin, if it comes in contact with B'Tful Yayin. Ober Mechusa Kippurim, Obelin. Mechusa Kippurim is a stage after Tfol Yayin. For most people, once they table themselves in the mikveh, once they have reached that stage, they await only one more step, and that is for the sun to set. That completes their Tahara. However, for some, like the Zav, Ziva, Mitzvah, or Yaldis, even after the sun sets, there is still another step, and that is they have to bring their Karbanis. Until they bring their Karbanis, even after they have completed Harav Shemesh, they are in the status of a Mechusa Kippurim. They cannot eat Kardashim. They aren't even allowed to touch it. But again, there is only a small vestige of Tumah that is left in this person, and therefore only the highest level of Hegdish is vulnerable to this, and that is Kiddush HaZaguf. Furthermore, a Belina, the Mincha now becomes possible Belina, if it is kept overnight. Now the Karban Mincha, like most Karbanos, becomes possible the morning after. This Mishnah is telling us that the morning after means the morning after it was put into the Keli. Once it is brought into the Azar and put into the Klishares, at that point the time clock begins. Now what we're looking for in this Mishnah is obvious. Rabbi's point is seen very clearly over here. You cannot suggest that even Kiddush HaZdanim is vulnerable to contact of a Tfol Yayin. The Mishnah makes it very clear. Kartzei B'Kli En. Only after you Mekadosh the Karban Mincha and the Keli, then the Mishnah says it becomes possible when it comes in contact with the Tfol Yayin. But like Kartzei B'Kli, prior to that stage, even though he was already Magdishit and the Mincha received its first level of Kiddush HaZdanim, Loi, then the Tfol Yayin would not passel it. So you see, a Tfol Yayin only passels something that is Kiddush HaZaguf. And therefore, Rabbah concludes, if you, the Chizda, are correct when you say that Ketayis only has a din of Kiddush HaZdanim, it should not be susceptible to contact with a Tfol Yayin. A Tfol Yayin should not passel it. And if a Tfol Yayin does passel Ketayis, is a Rai Ketayis is Kiddush HaZaguf. And despite that, the Mishnah in Masechet Shkalim tells us how to remove the Kiddusha from the Ketayis in order to give it its new Kiddusha with the current Shkalim. So you see that it could be done. So the Yechanan is right when he says, in regard to a carbon sibyl like the Tiloyim that are left over, there is a way to remove the Kiddusha and to give it a new Kiddusha with the current Shkalim and to be makrivan.
However, Rav Chisda is not willing to concede yet that Keteris is a din of Kedushas Haguf. Elamai, so what are you suggesting, says Rav Chisda to Rabba, that Kedushas Hagufi? I'll ask you a kasha. Elamai, you have to know if that's the case, that Keteris is a din of Kedushas Haguf, Tipasel Belina. Then the Keteris should become Pasel once they are placed into the clay shares and they're left overnight. How do we know that that's not the case? Alamitnan, why did we learn a Mishnah?
And this Mishnah is going to give us a list of virtually all the different types of carbon minchas and more. First item on the list, hakaynitz. The kaynitz of the minchas yachid, of course, is the part of the carbon mincha that goes up onto the mizbeach. The levina was a special kind of pleasant substance, a measure of which was added to almost all minchas, although it wasn't mamish part of the kindness, but it was part of the process, except for the minchas saita, because the levina represented the imais, it represents kiddush and tznius, that is its pleasant fragrance, and of course the saita doesn't have that. The third item on the list, and the one of course we are looking for, the hakatiris. Item number four, Minchas Kohanim. The Minchas Kohanim, Rashi reminds us, was Kulei Kol on the Mizbeach. Unlike other Minchas, where only the kindness is burnt and the rest is eaten, when a Kohen brought a carbon Mincha, the Torah tells us, whether he donated the Mincha or was obligated to bring it, it is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. Minchas Kohen Yeshuach. Kohen Yeshuach really means the anointed Kohen, the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol was supposed to be anointed with the Shem and the Mishcha, although in subsequent generations they didn't always have the Shem and HaMishcha. But in any event, the Kohen Gadol had to bring a special carbon mincha each day. It was called chavitin. The chavitin were 12 loaves, and they were brought half in the morning and half in the evening. And finally, Minchas Nesachim. This is the carbon mincha together with the Nesachim that come along with the carbon. Rashi reminds us each kind of behema had a different measurement. It was Shloisha Esroinim La'Par, Shnei Esroinim La'Ayil, Vizarin La'Keves. These carbon minchas were completely burnt. Now what is the halacha with all these carbon minchas? Sakta Mishnah V'Aiter, Kachu B'Kli, from the point you are Mekadosh them in the Klei Shoreis, Hochshu, they become susceptible, Lipasol B'Tfol Yoyim, to become possible through contact with the Tfol Yoyim, Ube Mechosa Kippurim, or through a Mechosa Kippurim. And this final halacha, which pertains to us, ubelina, now suddenly the ketairis becomes possible belina. Why? Because it was put into a klisharis. Now this is Rav Chisda's point. Let's remember again that beraisa that appears on the second line of this amid. Nitna b'machtesh, as the beraisa told us over there, when the ketairis is placed into the grinder, miselis bitfulyain. Period. It does not say with it. It becomes possible belina. So we see Kachu B'Kli from the point that it was put mamish into the Kli Shareis, and yes, that's when it's elevated to Kedushas Haguf and Mimela, Pasul Belina. But like Kachu B'Kli, when it was not put into the Kli Shareis, even though it was already in the grinder, which according to you, Rabbi, says of Chisda, is also Kli Shareis, but over here we see Lai, that at that point it does not become Pasul Belina. Obviously, because at that point it is not Kedushas Haguf, because the Machtashas is not a Kli Shareis. Amalei said, Abba said to Rav Chisda, I still maintain Ketayres is Kedushas Haguf. From the point they were put into the grinder, they are Kedushas Haguf. And therefore the fact that they could be redeemed is a riot to what Rabbi Yochanan says, that the carbon tamid can be redeemed. Ayur kashi is hakam, it doesn't become possible, belina? That's not a kash. Amalei, Abba said to Rav Chisda, lina ka amrit, your whole point is from lina? Your argument is, if it became Kedushas Haguf with the Mechteshes, it would be possible, belina? Not necessarily. Granted, virtually all Kedushas Haguf becomes Pasul Belina, but Ketayres is an exception. Shani Ketayres, held at Tzurasa B'chala Shana Kula, because the appearance of the Ketayres does not change. It has the same Tzura. It doesn't spoil. And being that it will never get stale, the whole Inyan of Pasul Belina does not apply over here. Now you may ask, but the Mishnah does say it becomes Pasul Belina after you Mekadosh it in the Kli Shareis. If Tzulina applies only to something that will spoil, how can it become possible even at that stage? Zot Rashi Midrash, it really doesn't. It's just a Chazawa concerned if I allow Ketayres not to become possible Belina even after it's in a Klisharis, you may confuse it with other Inyonim of Hegdish that are in a Klisharis. And everything else does become possible once it's in a Klisharis. But at the point that it's only in the grinder, I'm not scared you're going to confuse this with other Inyonim of Hegdish. The Metzias, however, Rabba still maintains his Shita, that the Machtashes is also Kli Shareis. And in reality, it became Kedushas Haguf from the point that it was ground. So let's quickly chazer over the steps of the dialogue. We began with the member of Rabbi Yochanan, that even though we have a live animal over here without a mum, prepared to be a carbon tamid, the problem being it was purchased with last year's shkolim, there is a way to redeem it, and to repurchase it with this year's gal. Rav Chisda took issue, asking where does the kedusha go? If it's kedusha zaguf, so we know the rule: you can only redeem it if it has a mum. Rabba, in defense of Yochanan, answered, but you see that ketores can also be redeemed, even though it too is kedusha zaguf. Rabba holds ketores is kedusha zaguf from the point that it was in the grinder, because the machtesh is, according to Rabba, is a klisharis. Rav Chisda took issue with that, saying that ketores is kedusha zdanit, and the machtesh is not a klisharis. So Rabbi challenged Rav Chisda, saying that if the Keteris is Kedushas Danim, it should not become possible B'tful Yayim. Yet we learned that once it's placed into the Mechteshes, it does become possible B'tful Yayim. Rabbi supported his Kasha by saying, if it was Kedushas Danim, it could not be susceptible to contact with B'tful Yayim, because the Mishnah in Me'ilah tells us B'feresh that while Menachos are liable to Me'ilah from the point that you're Magdish them, because even Kedushas Danim has Me'ilah, however, only after they are placed into the keli, only after they are brought to the azara and put into a kli shoreis, only then do we say it becomes possible b'tful yayim. The name effect, Rabba, if you are right with Chisda that the ketores is just kedushas danim, how come it does become possible b'tful yayim? Rav Chisda never really answered that question, but he explained that obviously something else has to be understood, because the Mishnah doesn't work out according to you either, Rabba. Let us assume that Ketores is Kedushas HaGuf, then it should become possible Belina. And the fact is that the Ketores, from the point that it is in the Machteshes, before it's actually in the Kli Shoreis, does not become possible Belina. How do we know that? So Rav Chisda quotes another Mishnah, which virtually is parallel to the first Mishnah in Mila. This Mishnah gives us a whole list of different types of Menachos and Ketayas. And the Mishnah concludes by saying that only after Kachay the Keli do we say Hochshru Livso B'tful Yayim Ubimachusa Kippurim Ubalina. But prior to it being placed in a Kli Sharis, even after the Ketayas was in the Machteshes, it's not possible Belina. Well, according to you, Rabba, it should be possible Belina if it's Kedushas HaGuf even from that point. So Rabba answered that Ketayas is an exception. Even though Ketayas is Kedushas HaGuf, but it's not possible Belina. The B'tful Lina applies only to something that's going to stale, only to something that's going to spoil. Being that the Keteris will never spoil, it was kept for years and years, the name is not Shaykh Bechlal the Psalina, and even the Psalina after was in a Keli, Rashi told us, it's just Midrabban. Incidentally, Tysus disagrees with Rashi. Tysus says that's not the reason that Keteris doesn't become possible Belina. Tysus explains the Gemara means it's not Shaykh Psalina Bechteris because the Torah instructs us to prepare everything at the beginning of the year, and then to use it throughout the entire year. So obviously the Torah did not mean that a psalina should apply for Ketayah. So how could we possibly prepare everything at the beginning of the year? You would have to do it day by day. One more Nekudah that Rashi is Ma'ir over here. The Gemara quoted two Mishnayos in the Masechtas Me'ilah. One begins that the Karban Mincha is liable to Me'ilah right away. But the other sensitive in Yonim of Hegdish, like the Psul with the Tfil Yayim or Mechus HaKippurim or the Psalina, comes only after you Mekadosh at the Keli. Then we have another Mishnah in the Masechtas Me'ilah where we have a whole list of different kinds of Menachos, and again the same Halacha, that the Psalm Me'ilah starts right away, the other Psalm only come after Kitchei B'Keli. Why is this broken up into two separate Mishnayos? And it's virtually the same Mishnah, except that in the first Mishnah, it just says plain in regard to Minchais. And in the second Mishnah, there's a breakdown. There's a list of all the different kinds of Minchais. So Rashi says, Enechanani, inasmuch as what we see over here, there's no chiluk between the Mishnayos. But if you would look in Masechtas Me'ilah, you would see that in the latter part of the Mishnayos, there are different halachis over here as it pertains to Pigul Meisur or Tamei. So if you would see the Gemara in Masechtas Me'ilah, you would understand why it's broken up into two separate Mishnayos. In any event, it appears that the Rabba has won the debate over here. Rabba has proved that Ketores is Kedushas HaGuf, the Harayit becomes possible B'tful Yayim. He has defended the Kasha why it doesn't become possible Belina because Ketores is different. Once we establish that Ketores indeed is Kedushas HaGuf because the Machteshes is a Kli Sharis, so that proves of Yochanan Salacha that it is possible, at least in regard to Kedushas HaGuf of a Karban Sibur, to redeem it even without a Mum. The only thing is, it appears we have overlooked one Nekuda, and that was of Chizda's first elementary question over here. The fact is that we're dealing with Kedushas HaGuf. Let's get back to the Karban. These Tilayim, these sheep, that had been prepared for a Karban Tamid, but were purchased with last year's Shkala. This for sure is Kedushas HaGuf. So the Chizda asked, V'chi Kedushas Shebehen Lahechen Hocha, where did the Kedusha go? If it's Kedushas HaGuf, so there's an intrinsic Kedusha over here. How do you take that Kedusha out? Unless there's a Mum, the item is still Royal Mizbeach, the rule is that the Kedusha stays there. So the Abba points out the same is true for Ketiris and Echanami. We have the same kasha by Ketiris. Now, we know that it works, but we still don't know how it works. Where has the Kedusha gone? Amarabda, so Rabba answered. Now, before we even see the Teretz Chaim is in the Daik here in this Amarabda, that even though we're sort of continuing to debate between Rav Chisda and Rabba, by saying that Tzaykel Tzayv Rabba never answered Rav Chisda's first question, but this is not part of the dialogue. It's the stem of the Gemara that asks, Tzaykel Tzayv Rabba, you have proven that it works, that you can redeem Inyanim of Tzibra, even though it's Kedusha Saguf, but you haven't answered why. And we know that it's the stem of the Gemara, not part of the dialogue, because the Gemara introduces it as a new Inyan. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, I will now explain to you how it works. Had this been part of the dialogue, it would say Amar Lay. In any event, Amar Rabba, Zok Rabba, how does it work? You want to know where the Kedusha goes? Lay Bezin Masnalin. Bezin stipulates, Bezin makes a Tanai, when it comes to Inyanim of Tzibur that get Kedusha Saguf. L'chadchila, they say like this, Im hutzrichu hutzrichu, if it's going to be needed and we can use it, fine, then the Kedusha Saguf stays. V'im lav, if for whatever reason it cannot be used, for example over here, that it turns out the year is over, and these inyanim, whether it's the karbanis for the tamid, or the ketiris that were purchased with last year's shkalim, so yilad and they become Kedushas damim. To the shayla of the chazainish and the kilos Yaakov, do they become Kedushas damim retroactively? Does the Tanai work that we never intended for this to get Kedusha Saguf if ultimately it's not going to be used? Or do we say that it was Kedusha Saguf up until the point that we can't use it and only then does it turn into Kedusha Dami? Furthermore, it's Mashmi from the Mefarshim, the way the Yisra Bracha explains it, that it is not necessary for Bezin to openly stipulate that its Kedusha Saguf is dependent on its ultimate use. Rather, it was automatic. Leiv bezin masna leyan. But anything that has to do with carbon fiber only gets Kedusha Saguf if indeed it is going to be used. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya said to Rabba, but how could this be? For Mahu da Amar, it is the Rebbe himself who said, it is a member of Rabba in the Sechtes Temura, that Higdish Zacha Ledamav, someone was Magdish, a male ram, Ledamav. He said he only wants monetary value to take effect. He does not want an intrinsic Kedusha to take effect for the Mizbeach. It doesn't work. Kaddish Kedusha Saguf. It gets Kedusha Saguf anyhow. Why? Because he was magdish something that is royal in his Mizbeach. So it just seems very ironic that if an individual wanted to be magdish something, never mind the Tanai, but he clearly says it's not contingent on anything. I want this to be Kedusha Saguf, not Kedusha Saguf. It doesn't work. It becomes Kedusha Saguf anyhow because b'mitzias the item is royal in his Mizbeach. So you're telling me now that when the Tzibur is magdish something for Kedusha Saguf, with the intent for it to be Kedusha Saguf, suddenly there is a way to change it into Kedusha Dam because it wasn't used? Could such a Tanai work? And for the Gemara Lakasha, this is not a difficulty. It all depends on what he says. If someone is Magdish a ram, and he says, I want the monetary value of this ram to have Kedusha, and I want to take that money, and I want to purchase a ram and be Magdish on the Mizbeach. All this when the initial ram itself is Royal Mizbeach. That's when we say it doesn't work. The ram itself gets Kedushas Haguf, even though he wanted this particular ram only to have Kedushas Damim. Hadi Amalud Meyoil. If Ilechatchila says, I am Magdish this aisle for Kedushas Damim because I want the money to go and purchase an oilah, that doesn't work. The ram itself becomes a carbon oilah. Ha. When do we say, however, that it is possible to somehow take something that is royal in Mizbeach and to prevent Kedusha Saguf from taking effect? If the person l'chadchila takes the ram and he says, I want the proceeds from the sale of this ram to be used to purchase Nesachim, even though the ram itself is royal in Mizbeach, but over here he has l'chadchila directed the Kedusha of this animal away from a direct carbon to the Mizbeach, and indeed it does stay Kedusha's Damin. Now this is how Rashi explains it. If I am Magdish and Ayel l'Mizbeach, I cannot somehow say it should only have Kedushas Damim because the aisle itself is Royal Mizbeach. On the other hand, if I am Magdish an aisle with the expressed intent to somehow take the money out of this aisle and to use it for Nesachim, so the ram doesn't get the Kedusha of Nesachim because it's not Royal Nesachim. To say that the ram gets the Kedusha to be put onto the Mizbeach, but Lechatchila, I said, I don't mean to be Magdish something on Mizbeach over here. I only mean to be Magdish on Nesachim. So that's why Taka the aisle stays with Kedushas Damim. Because whenever you are magdish something that cannot be used for the expressed intent of your hegdish, obviously what you meant lechatchila was you want to take that value and purchase an item that could be used for it. Now that's how the inyan of the tzibur works as well. If we have some leftover animals from last year, so what happens? How did we explain it? We take the animals and we sell them. Where does the kedusha go to? It goes on to the money. What do we do with the money? The money goes into the stack of last year's shkalim. What happens with last year's shkalim? So we said there are different shitas in the sechta shkalim. What do you do with it? So let's say we're going to hold up the mandiyama that they plated the kodesh kedushim with it. It turns out it's as if I was magdish these animals lechatchila for the purpose of plating the kodesh kedushim with it. Under these circumstances, it doesn't get kedusha seguf that has to stay there. Because these animals are not right to plate the Kodesh Kedoshim with it. It's the same as being Magdash Aram L'chatchila stating that you want the value to go for Nesachim. As long as you express yourself that you want it to go for something that the item itself is incapable of being, so the Kedoshah's Damim is there, and not Kedoshah's Aguf. The only thing is, by the Tzibur, it works with it tonight. If I'm going to use it, it has Kedoshah's Aguf. If I'm not going to use it, it's as if L'chatchila I designated it for something else. But you want to know technically how it works, you see that it could work. The Malachas B'tzal asks the Kasha over here, L'fishitas Rashi. It turns out that these animals, if they're not going to be used, were l'chatchila designated for the Rikui Pachim, for plating the Kodesh Kedosh. But that is an inyan of Bedek Abayis. Now the Gemara says that if someone is magdish tamimim, the Bedek Abayis, he is over in a say and a loisa say. That's the Gemara in the Sechtas Tamurin of Zayin and Mitzvahis. The Gemara dashes that because it says by a Balmum, Nidava Tasa Oisa. Is mashma only a balmum should be made into an adava where somehow you derive the money or the benefit for a specific use of bedek abayis, but not a tamim. If it's an animal that is unblemished, you should only be magnish l'mizbeach. So theoretically, how could bezin make a tanai, which is an aveda, which is over an iser? Because you're not allowed to be magnish to mean l'bedek abayis. And to make the kasha even stronger, he says, the Gemara in Menachos and of Kofal from Adalov says, that a matzis tamim l'bedek abayis ain't paidenoisan el l'mizbeach. Because anything that is royal mizbeach is any yotze midei mizbeach. If he says lechatchila, I am taking this ram and I am magdish it l'dnei nesachim, that's not so bad. But in our case, what we're doing is we're taking these animals that are royal mizbeach and we're saying we're going to use l'bedek abayis to plate the kodesh kedoshim. You're not allowed to do that. So Malachas B'tzal answers it could be that l'maisa it's different because we have to look at the mitzvahs over here. The Metzius is that we're just engaging in a technicality in order to be Machshir the carbon. Indeed, the Torah wants something that is Royal Mizbeach to go up on the Mizbeach. And therefore, if you take something that could be Royal Mizbeach and you donate a Lebedek Abayis, then it violates an Asayin Alaysasay. Now, although technically that's what we're doing here, but the Metzius is not what we're doing here. The Metzius is that we have over here Talayim that l'chatchila were designated for the carbon tamid. They cannot be used for the carbon tamid because it is now the new year and they were purchased with last year's shkalim. And what we're doing over here is we're engaging in a transfer of kedusha that l'maisa is going to allow us to use these karbanos on the mizbeach. Exactly the opposite of being magdish something l'bedek abayis. That's a stipulation of preventing kedusha zaguf to take effect enables us to remove the kedusha and to give it a new kedusha that has valid kedusha zaguf with this year's kolam and to use it. It could be the issue doesn't apply in such a case. The objective over here in preventing kedusha zaguf to take effect is ironically to give it kedusha zaguf because we have the wrong kind of kedusha zaguf and we want to correct it. Under these circumstances, perhaps it is permitted. Yan Yosef b'sefer Malachas B'tzalel. In any event, Esav Yabaya to buy a kashka say. So Lamaisa, what you're saying now, Rabbi, is that the whole Kiddush of Saguf by Unionim of Tzibur hinges on a Tanai. If it's not going to be used, it turns into Kiddush of Dami. Or as other Achroinim explained, it retroactively was Kiddush of Dami. Whatever the case may be, Yabaya asks the following kashka. We learn, Par v'sar shal Yom Kippurim she'avdu. What happens if the Par or the Sar of Yom Kippur were lost? So what did they do? They couldn't find it. So they were mafresh another part, another soy, in place of the original lost animals. We go now to Yeralef and Mizdeis. V'chein Seiria Vaidazara Sha'avdu. What are Seiria Vaidazara? Is if the Sanhedrin by mistake gives some type of a ruling, the Negeia Vaidazara, that permits Klal Yisrael to be over something which is actually a Chiyav Karas. In this case, there is no Karas because it was B'shagig, but it is something that would have been a Chiyav Karas had they done it B'nezit. Rashi reminds us that the matan dam of this carbon is on the pereiches and the mizbeach hazav.
Now, what happens if after we are makriv the replacement, we find the originals? Kulan yimusu, divi Rav Yehuda, zeh al Rav Yehuda. You cannot compare this, as Rashi, to the Seir HaRegalim, which we learned in the Mishnah, that if you lost them, and you were makriv of replacements, and then you found the originals, you can use them the next Yom Tov. And the reason is simple. When is the next time you're going to be able to use the Yom Kippur carbon? Next Yom Kippur. But by next Yom Kippur, you can't use it anymore, because you can only be makriv karbanis that were purchased with the current year's shkolim. So once we know that the next opportunity to use it will be not this year, but next year, it's too late. And then we can't use it. As far as the Sod Avodah Zarah is concerned, so the Ritva adds over here, we don't really believe that in the same year, Bezin is going to make this same mistake again. It's very rare to start with. And therefore, the animal is locked up and it's left to die in itself. This is based on a halach l'mashim Messina that the Gemara tells us about in Masechtas Temura. There are five chatoes amesis, and one of them is when the animal was lost and a replacement was brought on the Mizbeach instead of it. Al kolpanim, that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, I mean Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, say that the animal is not left to die. Rather, Yehuda is sent out to graze, achi yistavu, until somehow it will develop a mum, v'yimachu, and then you can sell it. Everyone agrees, even Kedush Zagof, once it gets a mum, could be redeemed. The Kedush is transferred out of the animal onto the money. And what do we do with the money? This is a special fund where the Kohanim used to draw from this fund to be mark of Karbanis on the Mizbeach when there were no Karbanis to be brought on the Mizbeach. But isn't there a halacha l'mashem Sinai that the Gemara tells us about in Masechtas Temura, which says that if a chatas is lost and a replacement was brought in its stead and the original one is supposed to be left to die? The answer is, the Belaz and Abshimin hold, for reasons explained in Masechtas Tmur and in Masechtas Harius, that that applies only to a Chatas Yachid, however, she'ein Chatas Sibir Nesa. If it's a Chatas Sibir, like the Chatas Yom Kippur, or the Siri of Avodah Zarah, then this halacha l'mashem Sinai does not apply. We don't say that the Chatas is left to die. Abaye's point, however, is, whether you hold like a Yehuda, or like a Belaz and Abshimin, the solution is complicated. We can't simply say, oh, you have an animal that was prepared for the Mizbeach, but it wasn't used for the Mizbeach, and it's a carbon tzibur, no problem. We can remove the Kedusha from it. Ayat's Kedusha is a guf. How can you remove the Kedusha from it without it getting a mum? Didn't you just tell me, Leif Bezin Masna Leif, that there's an automatic t'nai when it comes to carbon tzibur, that if ultimately they are not used, they don't have Kedusha a guf? So why should I even suggest they should be left to die? Why should I suggest that it has to be allowed to graze until it gets a mum? Why is all this necessary? Lema, why don't you say that Leif Bezin Masna Leif? That Bezin stipulated L'chadchila that if for whatever reason the Chatas was not going to be used, in this instance because it was lost, so fine, so it doesn't have Kedush Zaguf. And said Rabba, Avudin Ka'amrit? You're asking me a question from the case where they are lost? Shani Avudin. The case where they are lost is different. The Loish Chichi. That's not common. It's very rare. Chazal only made the Kanas for Imilsa de Shchicha. When we say Lev Bezin Masna Leif, that Bezin L'chadchila stipulates that somehow there is no Kiddush as a guf on an item that ultimately is not going to be used, that's if it was a common occurrence that it shouldn't be used. Like the extra tamid, where every year you're going to have at least some extra, because you always had to have six ready on standby, and the last day all you would use is two. So you would have four left over from last year's shkolim. That was common. By the Ketairis, as explained, within the normal process, every year you're going to have extra. So over there, there's an automatic Leif Bezin Masna Leif that allows us to manipulate and to remove the Kedushas Aguf, and then to reestablish it with the New Year's column. But for something so rare, like for the Kehanim to somehow lose the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, for that there is no Tekan. So you're now telling me that whenever it's a Milsa de Lashchicha, there is no Leif Bezin Masna Leif. Well, Para Aduma is definitely a Milsa de Lashchicha. As a matter of the fact, in the history of Klal Yisrael, there were only seven paradumas that were prepared. From the times of Moshe Rabbeinu until Churban Bayis Sheni, there were only seven paradumas. So it's rare, to say the least. According to this, there shouldn't be any Leif Bezin Masna Leif. Frekta Baya, Hare Parah de Lo Shchicha, paraduma, which is not Shchicha at all. And despite of the time, you will learn from the Braisa, Parah Nivdis, a paraduma may be redeemed, Al Kal Psol Shabbat. For any soul that it gets, which disqualifies it, it can be redeemed. Nesa, if the paraduma died, tipada can be redeemed. Nishchata, if it was shechted in the wrong place, Rashi explains, tipada can be redeemed. The right place was a specific makom of the harazesim that faced the Pesach of the Beis HaMikdash. Furthermore, the Braisa continues, matzah cheres nohimena, suppose he found another paraduma that was nicer than the first one, tipada. So the original one is redeemed. However, from the point that Shechato Gabi Marachta, Ein Lepidiya Ilans. Now, we mentioned before that the Paraduma had to be shechted on the Ha-Hazesim opposite the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi explains over here that a pit would be dug in that place and checked to ensure that there was no hidden source of Tumah. Then they would build a special type of wooden platform that would be arranged in the pit and the cow was burnt on it. So up until the point that it was shechted over here, we're saying that you can redeem the Paraduma, but from the point that it was shechted and on, it's unredeemable. Rashi explains once the process was done properly, it would be considered a disgrace to take it out l'chulam. However, beforehand, and you could take it out l'chulam, you could redeem it even though there's nothing wrong with it. Even though it's kasha l'chatchila, just like you found another one that is nicer. How does this work? We're assuming Paran Adum is Kedushas Haguf, so the only way to explain it is because Leiv Bez Masna Lein. That somehow, if ultimately it isn't used, it never got, or at least now, is not Kedushas Haguf. But didn't you just say to Abba that if it's a milsa de la shchicha, we do not apply this leiv bez masna lein? So the Abba answers, who says paraduma is kedushas aguf? Shari paraduma is different. The kachi bedek abayis is considered kachi bedek abayis. It's bachlan of kedushas aguf. Paraduma never goes up on the mezbeach. Kachi bedek abayis is a general term, as mentioned earlier, which is used for items that people were magdish for anything besides for a carb. People are magdish them for their value. The gizbar of Hegdish may elect to sell it and use it for whatever he sees that has to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi's point is, you don't need Leiv Bez Masna Lein over here, because it's Katshe Bedek Abayis. It's redeemable even without the Tanai. But in a Chanami, if it had to come onto the Tanai, it would be a problem, because Paraduma is a Milsad Leishchicha. However, Abaya asks for Kash. Abaya asks, apparently, the only way to redeem the Parah Aduma that died over here, and that was one of the cases, Mesai Nishchata Tipada, would be through Leiv Bez Masna Lein. Even if you're going to say that it only has Kedushas Bedek Abayis, you won't be able to redeem it without the Leiv Bezdin. Why? There is a Gzeres Akasa that tells us that the Kedushas Bedek Abayis, if you want to redeem it, it requires Hamad V'Harach. Now that means he has to stand in front of the Kayan and have the Kayan assess its value. If the Parah Aduma had already been shechted or died, obviously it can't stand. So how can you redeem this? Yet the Tana tells us it could be redeemed. So you have to come on to Leiv Bez Masna Lein Frekta Baya. Let's see the Gemara inside. Ihachi, if that is so, that there's no Leiv Bez Masna Lein. The only reason you can redeem it is because to start with it isn't more than Katshe Bedek Abayis. So how do you explain Meso Inishchada that if it died, or he shechted it, Tipada, he could redeem it? That meant he shechted it shalai b'makayimai. But still, how could he redeem it? Hava'inan hamada v'halacha. It has to be standing, and the kain has to assess it in such a way. Now, if you say leiv bez masna lein, I can work around the hamada v'halacha. Why? Leiv bez masna lein is a very powerful license. It means Chazal are holding a string on the original commitment, and they can withdraw whatever kedusha is necessary in order to bring it to the point where we can meet our objective. In the case of the carbon tanit, they would withdraw the kedushas haguf, leaving it kedushas damim, so it's redeemable. Over here, that's not enough. Because even if we're left with kedushas damim, I have no way to redeem it. After it was shechted, shalai b'makayimai, or it died, there's no hamada v'haracha that's shaykh. So I can't even redeem it as kedushas damim. Elamai, over here, Chazal are going to say that they only gave it a kedusha to start with if it could be used. And if it can't be used because it died or was shechted shalai b'makayimai, then it's as though they stipulated to start with that it has no kedusha at all. We're not just reducing the kedusha, we're taking away the kedusha. And in Ela, you don't need hamad v'harach. But that's only if we can apply leiv bez masna lein over here. But if you rather are right, says Abaya, that by milsa de leishchicha, which paraduma is, we don't say leiv bez masna lein, then how is it possible to redeem the parah that was shechted or died without hamad v'harach? Now, Tosfos has a shverik head over here with the dialogue, and that is, what is Abaya's shita? If you asked Abaya about Leiv Bez Masna Lein, what would he say? From Abaya's first kasha to Rabbi, it is clearly mashma that he does not hold of Leiv Bez Masna Lein. Abaya says, why is it that the Chatas Tzibur that has been lost, replaced, and then the originals were found, why does the Behuda say Yimusu? And what does the Belozid of Shimon say? Do they have to graze until they get a mum? Why don't we simply say, Leiv Bez Masna Lein, let's remove the Kedusha and redeem them as Kedusha's Damim?
So Rabbi had to answer, well, I have to acknowledge that by a milsad leishchicha we talk, don't say leiv bezin masna lein. Idach mashma that Abaye from his standpoint does not hold of leiv bezin masna lein. But then Abaye turns around and he says, but I'll bring you a raya that we do say leiv bezin masna lein even by a milsad leishchicha. Look at paraduma, which is a milsad leishchicha, and we still say leiv bezin masna lein. If not, there's no other way around the hamad of haracha problem. So memanashach. If Abaye himself was aware of this Tana by Paradum, that we say Leiv Bezin Masna Lein even by a Milsa de Leishchicha, so why would Abaye challenge Rabba as if to say, I will prove to you that we don't say Leiv Bezin Masna Lein even by a Milsa de Shchicha? Somehow, Abaye Shita, both of his questions over here, must be consistent, and it doesn't appear to be. The other problem is that it is mashma really from most places that Parah Aduma is Kiddush Asbedek Abayis and not Kachin Mizbeach. After all, it does not go on a Mizbeach. Now, Abaye begins the second Kasha assuming that Parah Aduma is Kachin Mizbeach, and he asks, how could it be redeemed? If not for Leiv Bezin Masna Lein. So Rabbi answered, it's different because it's Kachin Mizbeach Abayis. And Abaye challenged, but you still have to come on to Leiv Bezin Masna Lein in order to avoid Hamad of Haracha. But what would the Hava mean over here that Parah Aduma is not Kachay Bedek Abayis? Why should he even assume that it's Kachay Mizbeach? What is the Makar for that? Many of the Rishonim discuss this over here, but this is how Tosfos learns. Tosfos learns that Abaye and Rabba dispute over here the following Svaras. Abaye holds that it's Dafka B'Kedushas Bedek Abayis with Shaykh Opinion. However, even by Kedushas Bedek Abayis, you still need Leiv Bezin Masna Lein. If not, we have no right to redeem Kiddushas Bedek Abayis. Inasmuch as Kiddushas Mizbeach is concerned, over here Abaye says there is no Leiv Bezin Masna Lein. That is Abaye's sheet. Rab, on the other hand, holds whether it's Kiddushas Bedek Abayis or it's Kiddushas Mizbeach, we do have Leiv Bezin Masna Lein. However, Dafka by Nusu Deshchich. So Abaye's first kasha from the Parvisor was, here you have Kiddushas Mizbeach, and apparently there is no Leiv Bezin Masna Lein, like I say. I say Leiv Bezin Masna Lein is only by Kiddushas Bedek Abayis. After all, if there was Leiv Bezin Masna Lein by the Parvisor, why should you say that the Lord of Chatas has to die? Or why should you say the Lord of Chatas has to graze until it gets a mum? You can just redeem it outright. And for Rabba, I agree with you that by Kiddushas Mizbeach, there is no Leiv Bezin Masna Lein if it's a Milsid Leishchicha. And the Parvisor to be lost, that is a Milsid Leishchicha. However, in our sogir by the Tamidim that are left over every single year, this is not a milsa de la shchicha, this is a milsa de shchicha, this is a milsa which is mamish certain to be. Over here we do say leiv bezin masna lein. Abaye understood from Rabbi's answer that wherever it's a milsa de la shchicha, whether it's kachi mizbeach or kachi bedek abayis, we do not say leiv bezin masna lein. Leiv bezin masna lein is only for a milsa de shchicha. Memela Abaye proceeds, still consistent with his sheet, to the next kasha. And Abaye says to Rabba, according to me, it makes no difference whether it's a milsa de shchicha or it's a milsa de loy shchicha. By kachin mizbeach, we don't say leiv bezin masna lein. By kedushas bedek abayis, we do say leiv bezin masna lein. But now that you're introducing a new sheet over here, and you're trying to tell me that leiv bezin masna lein even applies to kachin mizbeach. However, only by a milsa de shchicha, by a milsa de loy shchicha, there is no leiv bezin masna lein. So let me ask you about Parah Aduma. Paradum is a milsad loishchicha, and obviously we have to come on to Leiv Bezin Masna Lein over here. If not, how can you possibly redeem that first para? So you see that you say Leiv Bezin Masna Lein even by a milsad loishchicha, and said Rabba, but para is bedek abayis. Rabba did not mean to say the way we learned to start with, that it's bedek abayis as opposed to gedushas mizbeach. Faket. Rabba meant to say, we all know that paradum is bedek abayis. My shita is that Bedek Abayis doesn't need Leiv Bezin Masna Lein. You can redeem it even without Leiv Bezin Masna Lein. And Achanami says, Rabba, if you have to come on to Leiv Bezin Masna Lein, the way you hold Abaye, you say that by Kedushas Bedek Abayis you have to have Leiv Bezin Masna Lein, then you would have a big problem here by Parah Aduma, because it's a Milsad Leishchicha. And there is no Leiv Bezin Masna Lein by a Milsad Leishchicha. But I don't hold that way. I hold being that it's Kedushas Bedek Abayis, which we knew all along, that Parah Aduma is only Bedek Abayis. But the Rabbi's point is that because it's Bedek Abayis, you don't need Leiv Bezin Masna Lein. You can redeem it even without that. To which Abaye answers back, how can you say you can redeem it without Leiv Bezin Masna Lein? It's true that it's redeemable even without any stipulation that withdraws the original Kiddusha, but only with Hamad of Haracha. And in the case of the dead cow, you can't have Hamad of Haracha. So you see, you have to come on to Leiv Bezin Masna Lein.
One more code over here before we go weiter. Why is Par Adumah Milsud Leshchich? So Rashi learned there were only 7 Par Adumahs made to start with, from Moshe Rabbeinu until Churban Bayis Sheni. So it's a Milsud Leshchich, so few Paris over such a span of time. Tosfos and other Rishonim don't learn that way. They learn when the Gemara says Par Adumah is Milsud Leshchich, the Gemara is focusing in on one of the cases over here, and that is the case of Matzah Cheres Nohimen. To find a Par Adumah at any time was a very difficult task. Par Adumahs, kosher Par Adumahs, were very rare. Chazal paid a hoin rav, huge treasures for it, like we see in the various different stories in Chazal. So to find a Par Adumah that is good, and then at that same time, before they have a chance to begin the process, to find another one that is nicer, that is the Milsud Leshchich. Now, why does Tosfos learn like Rashi? If you learn like Rashi, that it's a Milsud Leshchich because there were so few Par Adumahs, so it applies to all the cases over here, not just to the case of Matzah Cheres Nohimena. Dr. Mashah, Rashi holds that the inyan of Par Adumah was a Milsud Leshchich, granted. But that aspect of Leshchich doesn't really affect anything over here. Because the fact is that right now, Chazal were at a very rare point in history. This is one of the 7 times, obviously, from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu until the times of Churban Bayis Sheni, that they were making a Par Adumah. The fact that that is rare is really irrelevant. It's irrelevant because the Messiah says now we're making a Par Adumah. That's the reality. So whether or not they're going to apply Leif Bezin Masnolei, and that depends on what are the chances of things going right or wrong from this point and on, after we have already accepted the reality that we are making a Par Adumah. And the only thing that would be a Milsud Leshchicha would be Matzah Cheres Nohimen. So to say Leif Bezin Masnolei and to say that they anticipated such a thing and the Mela employed Leif Bezin Masnolei to start with, that according to Rab is not Shaykh. But Mitzad Yetzim Inyan, that Par Adumah is Leshchich, that's not Negeya, because the fact is we are making it over here. So that's what the Mishnah explains why Tosfos doesn't learn like Rashi. In any event, let's go weiter over here. So again, Abaya asks Rabba, but we have Par Adumah, which is a Milsud Leshchicha, and from that thing we say Leif Bezin Masnolei. So Rabba answers, but Par Adumah is Bedek Abayis. And by Bedek Abayis, it's not necessary to have Leif Bezin Masnolei. And Achanami, if he had to come on to Leif Bezin Masnolei, we would not say it because it's a Milsud Leshchicha. So Rabba counters, but you have to come on to Leif Bezin Masnolei, because if you're going to use the standard method of redemption for Katri Bedek Abayis, that'll require a Mada Varacha. And a Mada Varacha can't work over here if the cow is not alive anymore. And for Rabba, it could be that this Tana is a Pshimen. The Pshimen holds that the Hamada Vaharach that the Torah refers to is only for Kachim as Bayach and not for Kachim Bedek Abayis. So being that Par Adumah is Kachim Bedek Abayis, and being that I hold for Kachim Bedek Abayis no Leif Bezin Masnolei is necessary, and you don't need Hamada Vaharacha, so we have no problem. It can be redeemed just like that. And for the Rabba, let's see the Gemara inside. Hamani, whose opinion is this Barai? Said Pshimini. The Amar who says Kachim is Bayach, or Yabachlav Hamada Vaharacha, that it is only Kachim is Bayach. It is only items designated for the Mizbeach with Kiddushas Haguf that require this process of standing and assessing. Kachit Bedek Abayis, like Par Adumah, lo hayu b'chlal hamad v'harachah. So you can't tell me that we have to come on to Leif Bezin Masnolein because the only way to redeem it is through hamad v'harachah. That's not true. Hamad v'harachah is not necessary. So Abayi asks one final question, but Eidab Shimon, if this Bereis is the view of Eidab Shimon, aim a Sefer. How can you show that it's consistent with the Sefer? Let's see the Sefer. In the Sefer of the Bereis, we learn that Shechato Gabi Merachta, if it was shechted properly on the Merachta prepared for the Par Adumah Laharazesim, Ein Lapidiyah Ilamas, and it can never be redeemed. That's not Rav Shimon's Shita. If Shimon holds even the part that was shechted properly could be redeemed, where do we see that? Let's first be Magdim, that the Pasuk says in regard to Tumas Eichlin, Mikala Eichel Asher Yeyachel Yitma. Any food that is edible shall become tummy. Rav Shimon understands that only foods which are possible to be fed to others, meaning that they are not asur bahana, are matama tamasachlan. Foods that are asur bahana are not matama tamasachlan. Oy bazai, Par Adumah, which is asur bahana, should not be matama tamasachlan. However, the Atanya we learned in a braisa, Rav Shimon Oimer, para, that a Par Adumah that had been shechted, despite the fact that it is asur bahana, matama tamasachlan. Why? The Teretz says Par Adumah is different, says Rav Shimon, Hoyl v'hoys lo shasa kosher, because at one point it was shayach to make it mutter. How is that? the Yomer Shlakish. So the Shlakish said, explaining the Indian of Shasa Kaisha, that Oymahayir of Shimon, used to say that Parah Nivdis Agav Menachta, that a Parah Duma can be redeemed even though it was shechted in its proper place. Rashi explains that I would redeem it if it found another Parah that was nicer than the first one. Now Reb Shimon understands, this is Reb Shimon's sheet of B'chala Terekula, that Kala Oymid Livdais Kepadidani, something that potentially could be redeemed, in many ways already has the halacha of a redeemed animal. In this particular instance, we see that even though the animal right now is also the achila, but because potentially it is possible to redeem it, even after it was shechted in its proper place, therefore we consider it redeemed in as much that we will call it an oichul shati yachol achila lecheirim, and therefore the halachas of tumas achim will apply. Al kopanim, what do we see over here? We see that according to the Pshimon, it could be redeemed even if it is shechted in the proper place. So don't tell me that the Beraisa that says you can redeem a parah duma without a mother of haracha is the Pshimon who holds kachi by the Gabayas don't require a mother of haracha. And therefore it wasn't necessary to say leiv bezin masna lei, and this can't be the Pshimon. Because this Beraisa also says that if it was shechted in its proper place, you cannot redeem it. And the Pshimon says that you still can. Elena says, well, you're right. This Beraisa is not the Pshimon. So let's get back to Abayas Kasha and Rab. Rabba holds we don't say leiv bezin masna lei by milsad lei shchicha. Parah Duma would appear to be a milsad lei shchicha, especially the case of Matzah Cheres Noimena. And we do say leiv bezin masna lein. Elena says, the Gemara, Rabba's final teretz. I'll tell you why Parah Duma is different. Usually we talk don't say leiv bezin masna lein by a milsad lei shchicha. And that's the taka we don't say leiv bezin masna lein by the case of the chatas atzibah that was lost. Parah Duma, however, is an exception. Granted, it's a milsad leishchicha, ela but shani parah is still different hail with the mel yikar. Because it was so expensive, because a parah duma was so hard to come by, Mimela, bezin anticipated any possibility beforehand, regardless of how weird it is. If we think about it, what the Gemara is telling us is a reflection of human nature. We aren't worried about remote concerns, generally speaking. However, if the ramifications of what we're worried about are devastating, then we tend to worry and take precautions even about remote concerns, even concerns that aren't shchiach. In the focus of how we go about protecting ourselves and worrying about things, so there are two factors: the probability of something occurring, and the price to pay should that item occur. If the price is not too great, so we aren't that worried about it, even though it's probable, and we may not take the necessary precautions, by that same token, if the price to pay is a great one, if there's a potential here of devastating consequences, then even with remote possibilities, we will take every precaution possible. Milsad leishchicha legazavei rabbanan. Chazal treat these inyanim in the normal range of concerns. However, being that the parah duma is worth so much money, being that it is so terribly expensive, Chazal take into account the possibility that it may not be used, and if it's not going to be used, how can we get back that money? So over here, because of the great expense, the milsad leishchicha aspect really falls away. This is an exception to the rule. We're leiv bezin masna lein, where stipulations were put into place to start with to be able to redeem the animal, despite the fact that there's a very little chance it's going to be necessary. Aga, when we say that the parah duma is matana to mesaychlin, what would be a practical example of that? So Rashi says, suppose a dead sheretz touches the parah duma, in turn the parah duma will be matana other foods, should it come in contact with other foods. Some Ashanim disagree with that. There is a halacha that if something is food, and in addition to it being food, it is subject to conveying a very strict kind of tumah, and that is true for the parah duma. It is both food, and when the person is going to handle the ashes, he's going to become tame. Under these circumstances, the item automatically will be matama other foods, even though it itself did not come in contact with any particular item that was tame. So it wouldn't be necessary, really, for the parah duma to have touched the sheretz in order for it to convey tumah. Sakdim one of the item. In order to clarify one of the halachas in the previously mentioned beraisa about the parah duma, Omar Mar, the Rebbe said before, Mesa tipada, that if the parah duma died, it can be redeemed. Frekta Gemara, what can you do with it after it's redeemed? It wasn't shechted, it just died, so it's an avela. So the only one that can eat it is a dog. Frekta Gemara, but v'chipaydin es ha-kadashim l'achilon l'klavim? Can you redeem hegdish in order to feed it to dogs? even though Tosfos points out there's a machlokes tanan about that, but the stam mishnah is that you can only redeem hekdesh for human consumption. So mitzadi halacha ve'in poydim es hakadoshim lachilim leklavim, how can you redeem this par aduma that died without shechita? Amar of Mishashi, so the Mishashi answered, Mishum Oida. You can redeem it because there's a skin over here, and the skin can be used by humans. So we're going to set up the Bezdin, and it's going to be this whole complicated process and sugya of Leif Bezdin Masna Lein stipulating to eventually withdraw the Kedusha just because of the use of the skin. There's not that much to be gained over here. In a monetary sense, it's just not worth it. Omer of Kahana, so if Kahana answers, I'm going to take issue with what you're saying that it's not worth it. Ami and she people say that Migam Luuna, from a camel, even the ear is valuable. The Paraduma was so expensive, so precious, that if something had been designated for a Paraduma, that hide would have a tremendous value. And indeed there would be a concern on part of Bezin to be able to retain that value in the event that this particular Paraduma will never be used. Tosfos asks from the Gemara Masechtas Vachim that says that if Chada became Treifa, we have to bury it together with its skin. Why can't we redeem it to give it to the Klavim? Because Ein Paidin is a Kadoshim Lachilim the Klavim. So how come the Gemara doesn't say over there that we can redeem it in order to get the value of the skin? So Tosfos explains this is a Raya to a Shita that was mentioned earlier. That Ein Paidin is a Kadoshim Lachilim the Klavim by Kachay Bedek Abayas would only be an Isser Dirabonon. That's why we can be Makel to be Paidit if there is use for the skin. However, by a Par, the Isser of Ein Paidin is a Kadoshim Lachilim the Klavim would be Midraisa. And therefore would be usher to do it, even though there would be the potential value of the skin over here.